welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am finally back home after two long but jam-packed weeks away. And I'm convinced you can hear Morty, like, panting in the background. We went for a walk, and we got coffee, and he got, honestly, like too big of a pup cup. I was giving it to him, and I was like, you're going to be wild later. And then I was like, wait, that happens with children, not dogs. Maybe it happens. I don't feed him a lot of sugar, but I asked for a pup cup at a coffee shop because, long story short, I usually go to a further one. But I didn't want to walk that far today because I'm lazy. So I just asked them, and they gave him truly a 10-ounce cup of whipped cream. And my boy deserves it. So I gave it to him, but now I think he's like, ah! I think his whole mouth must be so creamy buttery because I feel like you can hear him on the mic anyway, in case you couldn't tell. This week is a gab sesh. I have so much to catch you up on, and we were going to do a Disney World episode. I'm actually going to record that this week as well, and I'm going to run it a few weeks later when my brain no longer functions after not sleeping for 4 days after D23 Expo, which always happens. D23, I guess we're supposed to call it now. It used to be Expo, and I was really on top of that as a journalist, and now they changed it, and my brain... Remember how I always do with that coaster at Epic Universe? I'm not even going to say the name out loud because I know it's going to be wrong. Anyway, you were in for a treat. There's so much we have to talk about. I'm trying to be more organized, and so I have throughout the month, I'll email myself and be like, oh, don't forget to mention that on Gab Sesh, because otherwise I will just sit here and rant about zilch nothing. And so I have a whole list of stuff I can't wait to get into. I've lived so many lives this month, guys. I've lived so many lives. My desk is covered in postcards, those light-up wristbands from the Noah show, patches, disposable cameras I have to develop, stickers, Pearl's jewelry she left in here when she comes in during the day. There's so much going on my table. There's so much going on in life, and I can't wait to get into it with you. So stick around. We have a fun one ahead. And then in the coming weeks, there's some really good ones. I'll get into it later. Okay, stick around. We'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye, but only for now. I'll see you in a few minutes, right? I'll see you in a few minutes. Okay, bye. So basically going to Disney World right now is always on sale?
There is a spread of offers that go from today all the way through the end of the year.
I remember when you couldn't save money on a trip, and now you can save so much money and celebrate holidays and do all the things.
That's the thing. And there's something for everybody right now at Walt Disney World. So thinking about the holiday season, it's July, therefore it's Christmas in July. Therefore, you can book a package for Christmas in July. Disney World just came out with its save up to 20% on select rooms with the Disney Resort collections during the holiday season. So this is stays most Sunday to Thursday nights from October 4th to November 19th, and most nights, including weekends, from November 22nd to December 24th. So that sweet spot where all of the decorations are up and all the times that I like to go to Disney is right in that little space of weeks. You can save up to 20% on your room only. They also do have a Florida residence rate. If you're a Florida resident, you can save up 25%. Most nights, October 19th to December 24th. That's just the first thing out of the gate. The second thing is the one that everybody should really be paying attention to, especially if you're a Disney Plus Perks member. Because if you are, you can save up to 25% on your rooms and there's more, get free park hopper benefits added to your ticket too when you purchase 4 nights, 4-day room and ticket package at a select Disney Resort Collection hotel. That's amazing to me. I have not seen them add free park hopper benefits in a package for an eon. So that's a big deal. That's valid for stays most nights from September 25th through December 24th as well, with some blackouts in there too. If you're thinking about doing your holiday season planning and you want to go to Disney World, now's the time to look at it for sure.
Yeah, dude, ask for your gift in advance. This is the time.
What do you want? I want free park hopper benefits. Bring it on. Last but not least, if you can go to this late summer, early fall dates, which are about July 30th to October 3rd, you can save even more than they're showing during the holidays. So you have that save up to 35% for 5 or more nights, save 25% as well. And the Florida residents can save up to 35%. So pretty much right now, Walt Disney World's on sale.
Wow. Thank you so much for keeping us up to date. And I know we talked about this before, but I just want to emphasize to everyone listening, there are too many of these to keep track of, and they're changing all the time, which is why I always implore you to reach out to MEI Mouseman Travel, because I can't keep track of these. But if you reach out, they will tell you everything that is available at that moment. And sometimes the rooms will go, and you got to grab them because I want you to save money if you're going to Disney World.
Absolutely. And sometimes the room only is a better deal. Sometimes the room only ticket packages are a better deal. So there's a lot of Disney math going on here, and we're happy to help you with that.
Thanks, Becky. Welcome back. It is fully delusional of me that I am at my desk for the first time in like 2 weeks. I went out of town for 2 weeks. 2 weeks is not that long. And yet I'm sitting here like, wow, I can barely remember what it's like to do this job. I was gone for 2 weeks. I was gone for like 15 days. I'm so dramatic. Like, my internal monologue is so dramatic to be like, wow, what a journey we've been on, friends, that now I'm finally back at my mic. It was 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks. But I'm so delighted to be back because we have an unbelievable amount of stuff to talk about. So much so that I'm very worried I'm gonna forget. I have been keeping Gabsesh notes for the past month, obviously, but it's still like so much has happened and so much is happening. The world's moving so fast and like summer is almost ending. Like, it's just too fast. It's too fast. It's all going too fast. And I'm just gonna try to do my best to make sure I cover everything that we have to talk about. As you know, there is a format to our Gabsesh monthly episodes. We talk about Disney stuff. We talk about other stuff I want to talk about. We talk about health and life stuff. And then we talk about stuff I'm currently obsessed with. And we're going to start with the Disney stuff section. Only, spoiler alert, it's going to be a little more universal this time. Because we have to talk about what is happening at Universal Studios Hollywood. Now, Universal Studios Hollywood was about to debut truly the coolest coaster that we have ever gotten in this region. This coaster, you got to keep in mind, Universal Studios Hollywood is like in the middle of the city. So it's wild that they are debuting this drifting, fancy, very technologically advanced Fast and the Furious coaster in our own city. And this thing was supposed to be open. I mean, there are billboards all over LA being like, Fast and Furious coaster, come in summer 2026. And it is not open yet. Future Carly here. Just a quick update that in the time since I recorded this podcast, only like 4 hours have passed, but I got a text message from Todd Martin's friend of the pod from the LA Times saying, coaster is opening, all caps. And I said, wow, when? And he said, no, they just opened it. They just opened the Fast and Furious coaster. I don't think I'm gonna have time to go on it before this podcast airs, which is why I'm recording this instead of recording a whole segment. But yeah, I guess they just freaking opened it. This is a technical rehearsal. It is a soft opening. So we do not have the official opening date yet, but for people who live in LA, it's kind of sort of open. All right, that's my update. The main narrative that is public right now is that there is a sound issue with the surrounding area, which is Toluca Lake. It's like a very quaint, cute little neighborhood. It's where Priscilla's is, my favorite coffee shop. And there's been a lot of online discourse about this, so I just wanna talk about it for a minute. My friend Todd Martins, friend of the podcast, at the LA Times, did a really great reported story on what's happening, which I will put in the show notes. But I've seen a lot of people clowning on the residents of this town online, and I just don't understand why. Like, if I was like living in my home, like lucky enough to live in Los Angeles, hanging out, and all of a sudden, like every what, 30 or so seconds, people are screaming, I would be losing my GD mind too. And I know that there's, you know, the sound ordinances, the decibels, like there is, things are kind of like it does. I don't know what's going to happen. Things might change by the time this podcast comes out. But after reading Todd's reporting and like hearing all the other things going on, it sounds like this is like a no-win situation, because Universal supposedly did a lot of work to keep the volume down at the coaster. That's like, they tried to have people turn away in the vehicles from the surrounding neighborhood. They used pea gravel. They built sound barriers. Like, they did a lot to mitigate the noise. But the noise of the coaster isn't the issue. It's the people screaming on the ride. And if I was trying to record this podcast and every less than a minute people were screaming, I would have to go on prescription medicine. Like, I would not be able to handle that. If it's like, if someone's mowing across the street, I'm irate. Like, I just cannot handle that. So I really feel for these residents. And there was one person that Todd spoke to, which I think really encapsulated everything that's happening, where they were both super stoked for the coaster, and the coaster was also slightly ruining their quality of life. Like, it really, really is wild. And I really hope they come to a solution, because I just feel such sympathy and such empathy for the people who live in the area that people are being so mean online. And I don't understand. I'm sorry. I don't understand why they were being so mean to these people online. They were bullying them. They were like, shut up. It's a coaster. You live near a theme park. Yeah, this wasn't always like, this is the first time they've done anything like this. If you want to call Hippogriff like a roller coaster and like the Mummy, we can say that, oh, they've had thrill rides. But this has never been an issue until now. And it's wild. And it just always makes me think about, there's some lore that I should actually, you know, if I like could take my meds regularly and remember, I would actually deep dive on. But there's some lore that, like, there was this one random story. I don't know if it's true. Take it with a grain of salt, that on the Universal Studios studio tour, there's the War of the Worlds scene, which is basically like a horrific airplane crash that is just there all day long, just all day. And I heard some random story, again, do not know if it's true. This is taking the journalist hat off, putting the gossip hat on. Apparently there was a family, because there's, you know, it's at the bottom of like a ledge, an overlook. I don't know how you describe it. There's houses that look on this. And apparently someone went out of town and came back. And they were like, sorry, what? Because all of a sudden their view was of an airplane crash. I need to find out if that's true or not, because it's so wild to me. And this whole situation makes me think of it. But yeah, we TBD put a pin in it. I can't wait to get on that coaster. I also really, really hope things are figured out for the residents, because I will feel so guilty trying to make any noise. It'll be like those videos that Disney Parks makes when celebrities go to Disney World, where they're like, try not to react. That'll be me on the Fast and Furious drift coaster, trying not to upset my fellow Los Angelinos. That's just where I am. Some other stuff that I want to talk about. Epic Universe added nighttime entertainment. Thank goodness. How fun. It's one of the like most challenging parts. Well, I mean, this is going to sound most challenging, but it is kind of tricky that like we go to a lot of these openings and like it's a lot of work. We're doing a lot of coverage, but we're also given these like beautiful one night only pieces of entertainment that no one else can see. And I find that really frustrating, because I view myself when I do my job, when things are opening, I view myself as like, the eyes of the people who are going to be paying customers. I really like to experience and then do whatever I can to help people navigate and understand what they are paying for and how to get the most out of their trip. But a lot of times at these openings, they'll do these like big entertainment things that we get to see and that's it. And it feels very unfair. And I know people online have said like, that's not fair. And I agree. I know when they opened Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Orlando, they did that big drone show. I think so. My memory's failing me. There's a lot of stuff like this. The Fantasyland Dragon, which I was before my time. I've heard of it. It's infamous. But we had this beautiful nighttime spectacular when they opened Epic Universe, and then like, bye, it was never happening again. And I'm so glad they added it, because it really, I think, just puts a button on the day at that park in a way that like, it's just a very, very special finale to being there, because it gives Celestial Park, beyond its ambiance and like beyond the dining and like the few attractions it offers, it really cohesively brings the park together to have nighttime entertainment that you can watch from there. And I'm so glad that they did that. Some other stuff. Disneyland raised prices of some food and beverage, which, you know, I was explaining this. I was explaining this to a friend yesterday, and they laughed at me because, as you know, they raised the price of popcorn. It is now $7 at Disneyland. I was groaning about this to a friend, not Disney people, like not people that go a lot, just like a friend who doesn't do this a lot. And I was like, Disneyland popcorn's now $7. And I was so upset about it. And they were like, okay, what was the price before? And I was like, it was $6.50. They raised it 50 cents. And they laughed in my face. I think because to, you know, a person who isn't emotionally attached to the pricing at a mouse-led theme park resort, they're kind of like, okay, everything's more expensive now. 50 cents in the grand scheme of things is not that much. That's like 20 minutes at a parking meter. But for me, it feels egregious and wrong. $7. I am not at a sporting event. I am not at a basketball game in an arena. When theme park popcorn prices are encroaching on and like in some cities exceeding the price of popcorn at a freaking movie theater, we have a problem. I'm sorry. Like $7 is too much. And if they wanted me to not scream about this, I will be screaming about this every week. Just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself, because I'm very irate about it. And I have that voice in my friend in my head being like, is it a quarter? Like 50 cents? I don't care. It is not okay. It is not okay to be increasing the prices this much on stuff. Like it's, I understand, like, a lot of people didn't go to Disneyland this summer, asterisk. That's a personal opinion. Do not come for me, Disneyland. But, it, you know, we looked at the numbers and the parks were dead at certain points and they started selling those other tickets to recoup. I understand they got to recoup. But do they have to recoup with, like, 50 cents on my popcorn? $7. And if they wanted, if Disney wanted to control me, they would release a popcorn bucket that is refillable at Disneyland Resort for Magic Key holders. Future Carly here. Now, I don't know what happens, but when I say things out loud, they somehow get spoken into existence, because truly moments after I recorded the podcast, Disneyland Magic Key posted an update that there is a carousel popcorn bucket, King Arthur's carousel popcorn bucket, which will have $2.25 refills for Magic Key holders now through August 17th. By the time you're listening to this, that is less than 3 weeks. And I'm not out here buying a premium popcorn bucket just to, the math does not math, just to get $2.25 refills for less than 3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks. Can we get a year-round one, sister? Can we get a whole year-round one? This was not the refill that I was dreaming of. I guess I got to be more specific when I put in my global demands, but cool, but this is not it. Also, it's like the hottest time of year. How many times do you think I'm gonna go to the park? Do you think I can make that popcorn math work? I can't. Give me year-long refills. Okay, back to the show. We have no permanent refillable bucket set up like they do at Disney World. At Disney World, you can buy a bucket, you're fine. You put your money in, you pass the break-even point, you're good. But like, listen, I barely took economics in college, but they can't, like, just give us a bucket. Just give us a bucket. I'm so upset about this. And I know it's a dumb little thing to be upset about, but that's being a Disney fan, baby. That's what it is. And I just think it is so egregious to charge $7 for a carton of popcorn. That is, it's literally corn. It's what we feed to chickens, right? Like, what are we doing here? $7 for popcorn. I'm upset about it. Give me a refillable bucket and then I will be quiet. But until then, you will not silence me. You will not silence my pain and anger about the popcorn prices. It's ridiculous for me to be mad about 50 cents. And yet I'm like $2 million mad about 50 cents. I just am. And maybe it's just because like the news is slow because D23 is approaching, but I'm upset. Speaking of, D23 is just a few weeks away. And it is exciting because we are about to find out. Truly, the way I describe it to friends is like, I'm going to find out the next 5 to 10 years of my life. Like, I don't know what I will be doing on vacation and for work until D23, until I'm sitting in that arena and they're telling me. It is the most exhausting, intense weekend of my career every 2 years. I truly don't sleep. I think last time I stayed up to like 4:30 in the morning, took a 2-hour nap, and then got up and just like made videos again. And I personally have a very bonkers busy week that week. So I will be juggling a lot of balls. I'll juggling a lot of Pixar balls, just trying to like make everything happen. But I am ready. I am excited. I actually don't even know if I'm going yet. Listen, this is the story, secrets and shenanigans. So I'm going to peel the curtain back. I have not gotten media confirmation or denial yet. I've only ever attended for media. I've never really bought a ticket. I mean, I'm there for work, but also when you attend for media, you have different access than if you're a ticket holder. So for me to do my work, to be able to post things, to be able to write stories in real time, like I got to be able to have devices there, which was especially a big deal back in the day, D23 Expo in its past proper term, before it would be at the Anaheim Convention Center. And you couldn't bring in things like laptops into that big, I want to call it Hall H, but I think that's the San Diego Comic-Con. My brain is overloaded. It's like a computer that has every single window open and you can hear the fan inside running, which you know isn't good. That's kind of what my brain is lately. So I go as media because I'm working. I be working. And I don't know if I'm going yet. I'm pretty stressed. Like I hope to go. I think I'm going to go, but we'll find out. You never know. That's like the wild thing about doing my job is that from the outside, it probably looks like, you know, I'm 11 years in. I cover stuff all the time. I've written for every outlet. I continue to write here and there. I'm like writing some stuff for Yahoo now. I'm writing at a few other places. But you never know. You never know. So hopefully it will be there. Fingers crossed. I'm excited to, that's what I mean. I'm not the type of person who's like, is hubris maybe not the right word, but I'm never someone who's like, expecting to be invited. It is a delight every time to be given access to do my job, every single time. And I'm very grateful for it. So fingers crossed I get to cover D23. I'm personally excited for, if I make it, again, I don't want to jinx. I'm like, so many people probably just like assume they're going to go. I'm hoping. I never know. You never know. I'm just hoping. Welcome to my neuroses. Anyway, I'm excited to see what they do with the Walt Disney Imagineering Pavilion. Personally, I thought last time they did an incredible job. It was so cool to see, like, there was actual Imagineers just on the floor. The fact that you could just walk up and talk to an Imagineer is so beyond bonkers, because that's how it used to be. Like, the thing I keep coming back to, every time WDI does anything, they release a YouTube series, they just release that clothing line, like all of these things. The one thing my brain goes back to is the fact that I once attended a press conference announcing that they were going to launch a Walt Disney Imagineering website. A website. It was historic that they were launching a website, okay? Website. That is, this place was shrouded in mystery forever, and they needed to pull back the curtain, not only because they need, you know, new talent to know what goes on here, but also because it is kind of weird that in our hyper media culture now, like, there was just this area where people didn't know how things were made. I think they've done an incredible job. My personal favorite is when they put out those slideshows where it's like the whole cast photo. That sounds like I'm talking about theater when I phrase it like that. But the photo of everyone who worked on a ship, an attraction, on a project. And then they do the little arrows with the little names, and you can see who each person is, to be like, real people clock into work every day to make these things happen. I think that is so incredible that they do that. I love that WDI is not this secret thing anymore. I think it is maybe made it even more hallowed, but like in a good way. It's just kind of like, wow, we can actually see the people who do this stuff, and they deserve to be praised, because a lot of times it was just the lead Imagineer would be out there. It was just like Joe Rohde. Like, and think about it with Animal Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom. We know it was Joe Rohde's project, but like, if you're really in the know, you know a few other Imagineers who worked on it, but we don't know like the 20, 30, 40 Imagineers, people who worked on details of that park the way we do now. And I think that's an incredible change. And so I'm very excited to hopefully see that pavilion. But we're really in it for the theme park news. And I am very, very much looking forward to the entertainment news. Pretty cool too. A lot of stuff came out of Comic-Con a few weeks ago. I don't know how they split. I don't know how they decide what goes where. But I mean, it feels like Marvel is really ramping up towards something big soon. We have that new Spider-Man movie, Avengers Doomsday. Like, it feels like things are ramping back up in a way we haven't seen in a few years. The last time I was like really flying high with Marvel was the Loki series. So I'm hoping they can capture that energy I had for that once again. It's just very exciting. And like, who doesn't love Tom Holland, you know? Who doesn't love Tom Holland? The last thing I want to discuss, and I, you know, I said to myself, I was gonna post something and be like, the last thing you'll ever catch me do is talk about a ketchup partnership. And here we are. There's a reason I didn't say that. Because I was like, you know what? I think we're gonna end up talking about this. So that Heinz partnership got announced. Cool. I think everyone likes Heinz. That's fun. Love a sauce. Love a sauce option. If there's a sauce bar, sign me up. But like, in the press release, it mentioned mac and cheese. And there's going to be a custom elevated recipe of Kraft macaroni and cheese. But okay, like, journalist brain, that means the mac and cheese is changing, right? I feel like that Star Wars meme where it's like, but the mac and cheese will be the same, right? Right? Like, that's kind of how I feel. Are they changing the Disney mac and cheese at Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line? That's what they mean, right? So I sent a very harebrained email to a PR contact and was like, I'm just going to tell you the email verbatim because it's so funny. It's so stupid. I sent it being like, I know this is stupid, but I have to do my job. I have to ask, even though I know this is dumb. I said, if you're able to comment, can we expect the macaroni and cheese at Disney Parks and Disney Cruise Line to change with this partnership? Can you provide any context on the meaning of custom elevated recipe? And I haven't heard back. So I got nothing for you. I put in the work. I put in the time. I do not know myself. But if you are a Disney macaroni and cheese acolyte, just prepare yourself. I don't know if it's going to change. And also, don't forget, sometimes things change and they are better. So maybe it'll be, what if it's like, because you know, like Kraft is like a deluxe shells and cheese situation. If it's something like that, whoo, baby, I'm on board. So maybe not bad news, but worth at least being abreast of, because something might happen. And last but not least, I already said, what is double last but not least? Because I just said, last but not least, that's not the best way to do that. Anyway, similar to how I never want to jinx anything or expect anything or believe anything's actually going to happen until it's happening, I am going on a fun work trip soon, which you will be hearing about. Again, like, it's booked, I'm going, but it's still like, I'm like, I can't talk about it. I don't know why am I like this? This is my literal job. Like, if I was an accountant at a company and they booked me a work trip, I wouldn't be like, oh no, don't, like, maybe Denver won't happen. Like, I don't know why I'm like this. I just am. I never like to take anything for granted. I don't want to jinx anything, but I am supposedly going on a work trip soon. I will tell you about it when it gets closer, and I cannot wait because it's going to be so fun. It seems like this trip was designed for someone who likes to scream about things into their phone. And baby, that is my wheelhouse. And so I cannot wait to do that for you and all across social media when this thing happens. Moving on to things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about, because Lordy Lord, I have been a lot of places and done a lot of things. We went on this 2-week trip, which I got to a point where I went to 3 Noah Kahan shows in a week. Ben went to 5 in a week. The tour routing could not have benefited us better, to the point where I met someone at Live Nation or something, and I was like, thank you for your service. Like, I don't know who laid the tour out like this, where it went Boston to Chicago to New York, but it worked out perfectly for us visiting family in Chicago and New York. Like, I went to Chicago and everything lined up perfectly. I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, but it was fantastic for us. So I flew to Chicago for, I think I already told you about this. I flew to Chicago for about a week. Ben went to Boston and met us there, and then went to New York for about a week. Being back in Chicago was really nice. Hi, Mom. I did not appreciate how nice my hometown was until I went back as an adult. And I was like, what do you mean all these plants? The landscaping is impeccable. What do you mean all of the lawns are beautiful? What do you mean everyone has space? Like, I really, as city brain, adult parent city brain, like, oh my God, I went back and was like, oh my God, my hometown's nice. This little hometown is nice. I had no idea. And partially it's because they did open a new coffee shop near my high school. And I went there every single day, sometimes twice a day. And it was wonderful. I keep thinking about it. I keep thinking about how good it was. I went to an incredible workout class. I don't remember if I told you about this in the Milwaukee episode or not, so I apologize. But they opened a sick workout studio near my parents' house. Went to one of the best instructors I've ever gone to. It was nice. Also being in the Midwest, we went to Wisconsin, as you know. Hearing someone say bag, do you want a bag? I'm not even saying that right. It sounds like bagel. But the way a Wisconsin accent says bag. Do you want a bag? Bag? I'm getting into Malk territory, but it was so delightful to be like, oh, I'm home. We were calling it soda pop. It was just really nice. It was really lovely. Something else that was really great about being back in the Midwest was that I was the aggressive driver. I was the one driving crazy. Everyone drove so safely, to the point where people in LA are unsafe, but I was back in LA. I'm a very safe driver. And the first time I drove back in town, I was like, oh yeah, it is absolutely unhinged here. Like, I don't need to follow F1 because my life is F1 driving to preschool. People be doing the wackiest stuff. You know, you see those car commercials where it's like, a family in a Volvo and they're happy and the mom looks back and she's like, oh, I love my life. And she turns back and there's like a truck or an SUV and she goes, ah! And then her car breaks for her. That is literally every time you leave your house in LA. Every time. 4-way stop, almost gotten into car accidents. Walking and in a car. Not because of me, because other people are on their phone and not paying attention to stop signs. There's no recourse. In LA, I don't think people know this. We don't have cameras in the red lights. Like, we don't have red light cameras. I know they said they were going to roll them out, and Lord, I pray they do, because this is like a terribly unsafe place. And we have our own laws. Like, if it's rush hour, so okay, if it's a regular hour and the light turns red, 2 people get to take a left. Like, that's culture here. But if it's rush hour, 3 people be taking a left and you better pause for them. Like, there's like unofficial DMV rules specifically in California that we just all abide by. And people drive like GD maniacs. And being home, it was like, oh my God, everyone obeys the rules. Everyone follows the rules. And like, if they didn't, it was just them being slow. That was it. It was lovely. It was really lovely to drive there. But we had a great time. It was a really nice visit. Pearl keeps asking to go back to Nana's house. I know, Mom, but I'm not coming back in winter. It's so cold. It was great. It was really great. I got to see my grandma. It was, it's her, oh my gosh, 96th birthday this month. So 95th, 96th. I think 95th was last year, the big one. 96? Yeah. I always say, how old are you? 21. So it's hard for me to keep track. But it was lovely to see her. It was lovely to do everything. And then we went to New York City, which was nice. Pearl spent most of the time playing with her cousins. She went to camp. A friend of the pod from way, way back. Camp has a Bluey experience that Michael does Disney, who y'all should follow. I got to hang out with Michael at his place. I got to see Michael's home off Disney turf. It was lovely. I got to meet the whole family. I mean, not Matthew, but see the whole family. It was great. Anyway, in New York, we went to camp. Pearl ended up going back a few days later. And we saw Bluey and Bingo and played around. It was great. It was also really nice to meet Bluey, not at when we met them at the media event for Cool Kid Summer. It was like a dance party. And so it was like, ugh! It was just like everyone trying to meet them at once. This was a very much like get in line and meet them, meet and greet, which they do not have at Disney World, which was very cool. Michael tipped me off to that. Shout out to Michael, which was really fun. I left the house in the rain, like truly just like, I was like, I got to do it. I went to Joe Coffee. It was so nice. Jonathan, who runs Joe Coffee, is such a peach. He is a Disney fan for life. He is runs a wonderful company. Like I truly, everyone who works there that I've met is wonderful. I also, shout out to Jonathan, because I texted him and was like, I wish I could hang out. I'm like fully in family time, but I am leaving the house right now specifically to go to Joe. Because when I lived in New York, I lived in the West Village, like years ago. It was different than it is now. I lived in the West Village and I would go to Joe Coffee all the time and I didn't know Jonathan at the time. And then my friend Sierra introduced us and now we're friends and I love Jonathan. Jonathan runs Joe. Very cool. If you're ever in New York, try Joe Coffee and just know that like there's a little bit of Disney spirit in there. Jonathan flagged to the manager or someone and he's like, are you Carly? And I'm like, yes, why? And he's like, Jonathan says you have to try our cold foam. And I was like, not trying to not have a lot of sugar. My stomach's been bad, whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll try the cold foam. And he told me what's in it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, Jonathan, I don't know. But it's a little different from standard cold foam because it's not made with heavy whipping cream. If you've been following my cold foam journey, you know that the reason I don't like Starbucks cold foam really is because it's heavy whipping cream. And like, I don't want whipped cream. The original magic of it was a skim milk. And this is different. This is different than the whipping cream. And it was very, very good. I'm so glad that a call was put in for me to try it. It was wonderful. And thank you again. Again, go to Joe Coffee. Go to Joe Coffee. What else did I do in New York City? I've been posting slideshows, which has been really helpful for me to like remember even what I did. I went to Dance Body, my favorite workout studio. I also went to The Limit, which is a place I really wanted to try. It's Jennifer Garner's trainer. I worked out with Jennifer Garner's trainer. She does a lot of like plyo stuff where you jump on boxes. This was just a dance cardio class. I was hungover from one beer and barely survived. Truly barely survived. But I think I did an okay job. I kept up. I did all the moves. I think I did okay for a first timer. I went to Dance Body. Truly cannot recommend Dance Body enough. Perfect workout. Fantastic instructor. I was talking to her after class because I go literally once a year and then I do it at home digitally. And someone was like, how long have you been taking Dance Body? When I was talking to Katya, the founder. And I was like, I think between 10 and 15 years. Like I've been doing this workout for 10 to 15 years and it's still hard. So Dance Body forever. Dance Body forever. I love it so much. I love it so much. What else? I mean, the thing I'm really here to talk about is Masquerade. Masquerade, which was absolutely wild. I'm going to tell you all about it right after this break. As someone who desperately craves the praise I get at the dentist when I'm complimented on my flossing, thank you very much, we have to talk about something that's new and exciting to me and hopefully the same for you. Underbrush Remineralizing Gum from Nathan & Sons is essentially a different kind of chewing gum that helps your mouth feel clean, clean, clean in a way I personally have not experienced before. It's designed to be a simple oral care habit between brushing, especially, you know, at lunchtime, in the afternoon, but the texture is different. It's kind of like gum that's good for you. Underbrush is made with natural saps instead of a typical synthetic gum base, which is just a long way to say it has a very substantial, satisfying chew. It is super chewy. And if you're someone who, like me, also needs to like constantly have a little something during their day when they're working, it is the ideal thing. It supports enamel, it helps freshen your breath. It's a simple oral care habit that's actually enjoyable to do. But again, one more thing I gotta add is that it's weird we're only brushing in the morning and night. I consume so much food during the day. Every 90 minutes I'm having a snack and I'm very sensitive about the amount of plaque that's been in my mouth lately. I just feel like I need to be brushing more. I don't like my mouth feeling unclean. And Nathan & Sons offers a great natural alternative that boosts my oral care. Nathan & Sons also makes underbrush themselves from scratch in their California facility. Like, the team is small, they've only been around for a few years, they're packing orders themselves, and it's just nice to be chomping on a small business gum, not some big corporate gum. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. If you like to chomp, chomp, and chew, and care about your oral health, you're gonna love it. Y'all know one of my favorite parts of finally going to Dollywood was stepping foot aboard Dolly Parton's tour bus because my girl gets it. How fun is it to see the world as part of your trip? Which is why I'm so excited to be partnering with Outdoorsy, the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States. They make it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one. And they have thousands nationwide available right in your neighborhood. Like the best part of a breakfast buffet, the omelet bar, obviously. It's also fully customizable to how you want to travel. You can drive it yourself, you can tow it, or Honestly, this sounds so ideal. You can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It all comes with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, roadside assistance, and basically peace of mind built in. And renting an RV can often be more affordable than hotels, especially for families or groups, or like, what a good bachelor or bachelorette party, right? And also, I'm just gonna say, it has more spirit and panache than a sad Airbnb. I will not stay in a sad Airbnb, but I will stay in a sick, cool RV with Outdoorsy. Ooh, I love Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is available to renters 21 years and older, and how it works is essentially three simple steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and your group size. You book with confidence, may I add, because they've got insurance and support and protection and all that stuff included. And then you hit the road or just arrive and chill. Whether you're driving or towing or getting it delivered sounds so cool. Sounds so white glove and fancy. You gotta get it delivered. I once stayed in a camper van. I talk about it all the time. It was a really life-changing moment for me because I'm from the Midwest. I honestly did not know what our country had to offer. I felt the same way getting off Soaring Across America. You know what I'm talking about. And having something like this, an RV that you can sleep in and wake up and be in nature when you are there without having to camp and feel like you're sleeping inside a poncho is, dare I say it, the best of both worlds. And I really don't think we're thinking about RVs enough because think about it, like a family or group trip where you can just like barbecue and like stay in the same place. Also, an RV for a sporting event or a concert to make a weekend out of it. Think outside of the box hotel, people. RVs are so great. And summer 2026 is your best time to rent one. I mean, if you really want to be tailgating and feeling like you're in that episode of Gilmore Girls where they're tailgating, get an RV with Outdoorsy. You can do it and they'll set it up for you. I can't even think of a single reason not to do it. Especially because right now my listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026. That is wild. With code AMUSING at Outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com, Outdoorsy.com. And use code AMUSING at checkout to remove service fees. That's incredible. We love Outdoorsy. Oh my gosh. I did not realize RV rentals were this easy and I am going to do it with Outdoorsy and I recommend you do it too. Have a great summer. It's summer, which means I'm going to be sweating and I just want to look good while I am. You know, the best summer pieces to me are the ones that you want to wear every day. They're comfortable, they're versatile, and they're somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. You know I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen and organic cotton, which is so important these days. Breathability is key, and they do it all without the traditional retail markup. Quince's 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops are lightweight, effortless to style, and start at just $32. But that's not all. They've got everything you need for the perfect summer outfit, head to toe. Pop on an organic cotton cardigan in the evenings, grab some little 14-karat gold hoops or like cutie little chains, and make the most effortless outfit feel intentional. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than other brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothes. Quince also offers elevated essentials for your home, from bedding and bath to kitchen essentials and so much more. Y'all know I live in my Quince. Every day I am in my Quince bike shorts because, like I said, the best summer pieces are the ones you want to wear daily. I wore mine to Florida. I wear mine here. I wear them in the morning. I wear them at night. Like, my time for their cutie linen scents and organic cotton dresses will come. One day I will travel internationally again when I have not been demolished by having a toddler. But right now, I am in my sneakers and bike shorts every day, and I am gleeful every morning when I pop those bad boys on. No joke, I have 6 pairs. It is basically my uniform because Quince is that good. I wear these daily and they never wear out. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier because I have and it kind of rocks. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. We're talking masquerade because I had one free night in New York City and my best friend Claire, who lives in New York, we've been theater kids since high school together. She was like, we gotta be doing masquerade. And we did. And I am so excited to tell you about it. Now, masquerade has been Sold to Me and the Masses is like an immersive theater retelling of Phantom of the Opera. And if you've done Sleep No More, which I think many of us have as people who are into themed entertainment and immersive spaces and design and things like that, I was expecting this to be Sleep No More, and it was not. It was not at all. Now, I want to let you know, there will be next to no spoilers in what I'm about to say. I'm going to be very, very, very deliberate and not describe anything. Actually, I'm going to say no spoilers because I went in no spoilers and I do think that's the way to go. But there are things I wish I was told about that I'm going to tell you about now. So I envisioned this as being like a Sleep No More. And if you've done Sleep No More, you know that like that is basically a show that is broken open and deconstructed and you're running from room to room and like you're leaving your friends. And it's just like, you know, you like follow. It's like it's what's that phrase? Like reward the brave. Oh, God, I know somebody is yelling it in their car right now. Fortune. Okay, I'm getting there. Fortune favors the bold. Something like that. Okay, we're good. So it's like, if you just like make a choice and go, you are rewarded in Sleep No More. So I showed up to Masquerade, this immersive Phantom of the Opera show, nondescript, no sign on the door, around the corner from my husband's office on 57th, like not in the theater district, truly midtown. Truly midtown. Used to be an arts and crafts store. That is not a spoiler. I mean, that's literally like, that's what the building used to be. I have bought stuff there. So had my friend Claire. And we got there and we're like, oh my God, it's this place. Blew our minds. As New York, as like former New Yorker and her current New Yorker, blew our minds. Anyway, I think I wasted the first 20 minutes of it in the wrong headspace. And so I want to protect anyone from that while also telling you what happened. I was anticipating this to be like, I was ready, okay? I was texting my friend Steph photos of like different sneakers that I should wear because there was a dress code. You have to wear black or white or silver and you can't wear stilettos. So I was like, baby, I'm ready to run. Boom! And so I was very deliberate about wearing flats. I was like, I stretched before. I thought it was gonna be like running up and down staircases. That is not what happens here. It is an immersive retelling of the Phantom of the Opera, but the immersion part isn't you running from room to room, trying to catch up, trying to like follow a thread and see where it goes. It is very much a show that moves through space and you follow it. There was no rushing. I mean, if it was any rushing, it was like to get to the next scene. There was no, I envisioned the wrong thing and it took a little bit for me to get in the headspace. It took a little bit for me to understand what was going on because it's essentially as though you are on stage at the Phantom of the Opera and the story is being retold throughout an entire building structure. It is so unbelievable. And the reason it's so unbelievable to me is for two reasons. One, logistics. We moved through this entire experience and we couldn't believe that when we did a little research later, we found out that they do this 6 times a night. They call it pulses. So there's 6 different casts and I think they're pulsed every 15 minutes. So somehow, even though we moved, oh my God, we must have moved rooms, spaces, areas 20 to 30 times, we didn't run into anybody else and paths never crossed. Like the timing of this is wild. And that's not really a spoiler because that's just, I'm not even telling you the room. I'm not telling you anything. You know, I'm someone who's looking. I'm looking behind the scenes. I'm trying to take a peek. I look through sometimes an actor would run through a door and I'd take a little peek. There were so many stage managers, stage hands, people with headsets. Like there were so many people in place to make this thing work. I have no idea logistically how they did it. I have absolutely no idea. But the real reason this was so incredible to me was the talent. Because I went home and I looked up who played our Christine. I looked up Christine. Christine played Christine on Broadway. This was like the... She was a Christina Broadway. She did Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, full house, theater, like New York theater, like the whole thing. The Great White Way, is that what they call it? Something like that. She played the role in like the highest level possible. And I was 2 feet away from her as she sang. And it got to a point that the singing was so astronomical, where near the end of the show, I started to think that they were just playing tracks and mouthing the words, which I'm embarrassed to say, but I've never witnessed that level of voice so close to me that like at one point the Phantom sweat on me because the Phantom was right there. Like I've never experienced that level of like the finest Broadway talent singing a role like this. Like Christine died. I mean, like I've never heard someone hit notes like that in person. It was insane. It was like listening to like the ultimate cast recording on Spotify, only it's live and you're literally next to them. That was so wild to me. But I do think it's not a perfect experience. And I think if you're not down for like going room to room and experiencing it this way, if you don't want to stand for that long, sometimes you're sitting, sometimes you're standing. I think that it's not for everyone. And I think it could be for more people, but there are two other issues I have with it. One, an issue I have is that I don't know why I'm explaining this like a 5-paragraph essay when you're trying to fill space in school. I don't know why I'm doing that. Anyway, they need an introductory speech to set the expectation. You show up again. I thought this was like Sleep No More. They give you a little mask. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to run, baby. I was like running away from my friend Claire. And then I was like, oh, that's not the vibe. Okay. Okay. They need an intro to set your expectations. They need to tell you just a little bit logistically, like if someone waves you along, follow them. We will all move as a group. Like I did not know that's what was going to happen. And I do also think they would have really, really benefited from letting people know verbally before we begin that there is a bit of audience participation. Like you may be asked to do something. You may be asked to move somewhere. You may be directed to stand in a certain location, things like that. If they explained it to us at the beginning, I think would have made for a much, much better experience, because there were times when they'd be like telling us to move and we'd be like, where? Like, we don't know what's happening. We didn't expect to be in this room. We didn't expect to be in this space. We just walked in and then they're like, go stand here. We didn't know. And there was places where they did direct you where to go and it was very helpful. I think that was very helpful. And then the other complaint I have is that while it was fantastic, I do think the prop styling left a little bit to the imagination. It could have used more set design, and I think the set design was good. It was better in some places than others, but I do think they could have done a little bit more there. Otherwise, like the costuming, the talent, the way they staged it, incredible. Incredible. If you have a chance to see this, if you're into Phantom, you should see it. If you're not into Phantom, even though it is totally different from sitting in the audience and watching Phantom, it's essentially the entire story of Phantom of the Opera. So like you're going to be attending an entire musical that you do not care about. So that might not be for you. But I loved it. I loved it. And it was wild. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, there is one more thing I'm going to say. Oh my gosh. I got recognized at Masquerade. Keep in mind, we're in a group of like 40 people. We're wearing masks. I got recognized. And like, no, I got clocked in a way I did not anticipate. We went to the bathroom. If you have to go to the bathroom during this, I don't know what you do. I like truly don't. I'm sure there's a way that they like escort you out and escort you back, but like pee beforehand, because I don't know how it works. So my friend Claire and I went to the bathroom after, and there's this, I'm going to be very vague as to not spoil anything. You're in a group. Sometimes you're split into smaller groups. There was this one time we were split into a smaller group where we couldn't believe what was happening in front of us. And so these other two people were like, oh, what? They asked a question to us about it. And then we asked a question. We're like, oh, okay, maybe that's how they did it. My watch alarm went off. So we all go to the bathroom. We come back. We end up striking up a conversation with these two people. One of them is like, oh, I did set design in college. And now I do, I forget exactly what they said, interiors or set or propping, some painting. I forget what that would be. I forget the exact job title they do. They're like, oh, I live in Orlando. I work at the theme parks. So I was like, oh, I'm a theme park reporter. And they were basically like, we know. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, we were like, is that Carly? It might be Carly. And I got clocked wearing a mask in Masquerade. Got spotted. I don't know how that happened. The theme park world is so small. And I loved it so much because we ended up talking. Claire had just gotten off a plane from like France. She was in Amsterdam and then France. Claire was like, I am so jet lagged. I need to go home immediately. And we ended up just gabbing with these people for 10 or 15 minutes because it was so lovely. It was like, oh my gosh, we all like enjoy the same things in the way where we have the same perspective of being absolutely blown away by what they've done here. It was so nice to connect with them. I didn't even catch their names. I don't think they listen to the podcast. I don't even know if they follow me, but it was just so nice. It was just like the loveliest encounter after the most bizarre experience to be like, oh, we're all one community. Like we found our community at the end of Masquerade in the middle of New York City. And that I think is the power of theme parks. I think loving theme parks makes the entire world your community. It kind of makes the entire world your third place. When your third place is the most like trafficked, busy tourist destination in the country, you can connect with anyone. And I've always said, like, when I came into this job, I was not a Disney person. I came in from the outside in. So I still retain kind of like this split life where I know what it's like to not be a Disney fan and to be planning a trip. And I know what it's like to be a Disney fan and planning a trip. I think that's kind of my superpower in what I do for my job. And I've always said, like, One of the best parts about being a Disney person is that you can go to a wedding with strangers and there's going to be someone there who you're going to end up talking about Saratoga Springs or DVC with. Like, there's always someone who shares an interest with you. And I guess that's maybe why people like sports. I mean, ask Madeline. I don't know. But it's really, really lovely that you can always connect with people in the randomest of places over theme parks. And it was so nice to be in this, like, brilliant, imaginative, theatrical location and be like, oh, we're all into the same thing. Okay, cool. Cool, cool, cool. It was just absolutely lovely. It was such a great time. And if you are at all a Phantom person, I highly recommend. It was like, honestly, hearing these people sing in real life blew my mind. Blew my mind. I've never heard someone sing a note that high, that perfectly in front of me and not be on a stage and not be like so far away that it feels like a show. Like, it just felt like we were chilling and she was singing. It was bananas. Next up, the tireless pursuit of feeling good all the time. My body's a huge mess. We don't have to get into it. Nobody knows what's wrong. I have a sneaking suspicion that all of my health issues are caused by parental anxiety. Not from mom. Hi, mom. Not from my mom, but like from me, like, you know, having a toddler and ADHD and it just being like, meh. I think I'm just, my body's like, meh. And I think that's why everything is failing. Honestly, like, my blood works fine. Everything's normal. I keep getting tests. Everything's normal. I think that's the only explanation at this point. So I'm going to start doing acupuncture. I'm going to start doing like every single thing I can think of to try to fix it. Because everything feels like out of alignment. Also, I realized lately that my body just hurts. And I think it's because I'm tipped forward. You know, like Mystery Spot? You know Mystery Spot where you see those ads and they're like, whoa, I'm doing it in person even though you can't see me because I forgot to film this. Oops, was going to film it and I didn't. Okay, watch, quiet. Anyway, hold on, let me quiet down my Apple Watch. You know those Mystery Spot ads where the person's like, wow, like, you can't see me. Why am I still doing it? They're like pitched forward and it's like, oh my gosh, they're standing up straight. How could they be leaning like that? That's what I've been doing all the time. I'm like leaning forward. So like my hips down are so uncomfy and I need to put time in to fix it and I never do. And I think I'm actually going to start because I am coming to you today on the eve of what is a mother's dream or really any adult human's dream. I am going to sit my butt in a hotel and I'm not going to move. For Mother's Day, I asked for a 2-night hotel stay, not 1 night. Parents, I asked for 2 nights because 1 night, you get there at 4, you leave at 10. It's like a blip. I asked for 2 nights because I'm not going to be like, usually for Mother's Day, if people want a night in a hotel, they want silence, they want to get away. They're going to like lay in bed, get room service, watch TV, watch a movie, and just relax. That is not what I'm doing. I am going to have about 4 to 5 cappuccinos a day, and I'm going to do all the work that gets interrupted during the year living down the hall from a toddler. I am so excited. I have like a whole to-do list I've saved for this special event. I'm a freak, okay? I don't want to be there dipping in the pool and lounging, maybe for 30 minutes just to be like, I did it. No, I want to be like holed up in a room like I'm in detention and I cannot wait to get so many things done. I am determined to actually do the things I have to do, but also hopefully kind of set up, I don't know, like a schedule or an itinerary so that when I come back refreshed, I pray, I can actually find a way to like do the stretches I'm supposed to do the things I need to do to like keep myself going. I'm in this position now where I feel like I'm constantly trying to find ways to be my own personal assistant. And when I do, it just makes everything work better. It's like all the cogs in the wheel are moving correctly when I do that, when I set myself up for success. Like if I wake up in the morning and I get in the car and like, oh, the bag's already packed, everything's good. Like I already like adjusted, I set up the car seat, like I did everything I needed to do. It's so delightful and it's so like warming. It's just nice to be like, oh, old me took care of future me. I keep, I don't know, like putting plans in place, even if they're really small and dumb, just so that I never have to make decisions in the moment. I'm trying to alleviate future stress. Like in Chicago, when I was there, I would decide when I went to bed, I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up at this time and I'm going to leave at this time. And that will give me an hour at the coffee shop before I come home to do stuff. And like packing my bags the night before, setting up my purse, like even like social media posts, I've been putting the photos that I need to put in a carousel in an album. So I don't have to scoot through. It's just like when I go to post it, I'm like, ah, my personal assistant did that. But the personal assistant is me. I'm even refining the way I pack because you know packing is a disaster for me. It's no good. And over the weekend, I reorganized my airplane bag. I have a little bag that I keep all my little essentials in when I'm on an airplane. I mean, everything from like hand cream to earplugs, just everything I need. And then I put that in a box with the backups. So it's like I have the wet ones wipes. I have the antibacterial wipes because I'd be wiping down everything in a plane. Planes are disgusting. I wipe it all down. Like I have all the Kleenex that I bring on the plane because I use nasal spray. So I always have to use Kleenex. I have like everything in there. And it's just in a box. So now if I need it, it's in one location. And it has given me so much ease. I reorganized my medicine cabinet thing. I reorganize my medicine bag that I bring with me whenever I travel. Just having like less things to choose from and everything set up for success has been so nice because my ideal version of travel is not like bringing one sunscreen and one shampoo and calling it a day. I want a miniature buffet of all my items ready to go. And I've been leaning towards this for a while. I used to buy beauty products and then get all the samples and organize the samples. I thought that was the way to go. Like, oh, if I'm packing, I'll grab a little eye cream and a little moisturizer and a little this. No, I'm realizing it is having one of each item. I use Cadence capsules. Those are refillable. That has helped me a lot. But it's kind of like having everything ready to go, like having a teeny tiny stain remover, a teeny tiny this, packed, sealed, done. Like everything needs to be refillable. I'm not holding onto minis. I want to have as little amount of stuff as possible while also making sure I am prepared for whatever I need when I am away. It's just a thing that I'm hyper fixated on right now. And I'm very, very close because I need less stuff. I'm trying to have less stuff. I cleaned out a bunch of stuff in my bathroom cabinet. I'm down to like my bare bones makeup and it's nice. It's nice to not be like this mascara or this mascara or this mascara. Just grabbing one mascara, grabbing one eyeshadow palette. It is, oh, it's like a weight lifted off my shoulders and I'm so delighted about it. Wait, but speaking of airplane bag, I don't know how many people saw this, but Simone Biles just posted like a what's in my bag of her airplane bag, which by the way was a Birkin. And in the comments, she's adorable. I love Simone Biles. Someone was like, oh my God, that would be so good for work. What is it? And she was like, it's a Birkin. And then did like I think it was like the hands over the eyes, like, ah, which is funny because Birkins are like, well, like $40,000. They're so much money. Also, she deserves it. She deserves the world. But she had her Birkin bag. And she was like, here's what's in my bag. And it seemed like her airplane bag, which was all of her stuff for the flight, she was just carrying it around the city. Like her city bag was her airplane bag, which I have never done. Like, I don't know where the heck her laptop was. I guess she's not on a laptop. She's probably only on a phone. She probably doesn't do laptop. But like I've never thought about using like a city bag on an airplane as my airplane bag. I know for some people like me, this is revolutionary, but I have like, oh, I have like a backpack. If I need a laptop, I have like all these different systems of things for travel. It could be as simple as using your everyday bag in the airplane. I did not know. That's not how my brain works. That's different for me. And it's wild. I also like, I have like a whole germ protocol when I come home from flying. Oh my God, I cannot believe I'm talking about this. This is so embarrassing. So when I come home, I either wash or Lysol everything and I put a towel out in the backyard and it'll be like the backpack, the purse, I'll Lysol hats, I'll Lysol my everyday bag. Like everything has to be clean because everything is so disgusting on planes. Some of y'all don't think about germs. I don't know how some of you aren't like paralyzed at the thought of germs. I don't know how I got this. Oh God, this is like the OCD video all over again. Oh my God. Okay, so I also haven't shared this, but I'm scrolling through my feed one day, la-di-da, enjoying my life. And this video came up and it was like, when you have OCD, but you're at Disneyland. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that experience is like. I have said every single thing in the video. I've said every single thing in the video and I don't want to diagnose myself with something serious. Like I have one neurodivergence. I might have many. There's no limit. Sky's the limit, baby. But I was like, oh my God, I've said all of this stuff recently in this video. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to diagnose myself off a video. This is just a joke. This person's clowning. The person is an OCD therapist. Oh no. So we're going to go down that path and see how much of that is true, but it really makes a lot of sense. I've seen some other ones she's posted and they're not me, but the Disneyland one was really me. I think that's it for the health stuff. We got to get into stuff I am currently obsessed with. And it's not just Simone Biles' bag, but it really is. Okay, I'm very into those chocolate-covered quinoa discs. I fly every airline. Ben is an American Airlines person. I'm all over the place. Whatever flight time is best for me, that is what I'm taking. And those are on, I believe, United? I've been on so many. I've been on one of every airline this past week, I think. They have those, what is it called? Like undercover? Hold on. Undercover chocolate quinoa. Undercover chocolate quinoa crisps. I love these freaking things. I tried them on an airplane, as everyone found out about them on an airplane, and I have bought them many times since. And then I got them on the airplane again and was like, oh, I forgot. I don't have to buy them. And I hoarded them. They were great. But I realized I kind of think less about something because it's free on an airplane. Every time I buy them, I'm like, ugh, if I was on United, this would be free, which is so dumb because the flight, it's not like the barrier to entry on a flight is $0. I'm paying hundreds of dollars to be on a plane, and that's my little treat. I wouldn't think less of a food because it's like in a mini bar. I guess a mini bar is paid, so it's a little different. But still, like I have a little like, I'm like, I love them, but like, ugh, these are free if you're on a plane. I don't know why I think less of them. I found out about them on an airplane. That shouldn't be bothering me. And yet, it does. And actually, something that should bother me and doesn't is finding out how much that freaking luxury train costs. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw my stories. Oh my gosh. Okay, the Belmond, what is it? VSOE, luxury, simple. I don't know how to pronounce it. They have all these fancy freaking trains all over Europe. And they redid all of them and they are beautiful. It's like golden age of travel vibes. They are so lovely. And just to rehash it for those of us who don't watch my stories, huge mistake, big mistake, huge. I was like, for my big birthday next year, I really want to go on one of these trains. And I never looked up the price because I was like, that's a future problem. I may as well just dream. I may as well just enjoy. And now we're like, you know, we're almost at the end of summer and this is next summer. So I like kind of have to start thinking about it. And so I was talking to Ben because we were having a quick conversation about 2027. And I was like, I do really want to go on that train for my birthday. And he's like, do you know how much that costs? And I'm like, I actually don't. I never looked it up. I have no idea. And he's like, hold, please. And so we're on the phone, types it up. Pricing starts for two people, for two little adults. Pricing starts at $13,000 for one night on a luxury train. Oh, but wait, there's more. That would be for a bunk bedroom. Oh yeah, I'd be sleeping on a train, ricketing back and forth on a bunk bed, on a top bunk, which I love a top bunk, not at a five-digit price tag. Even better, you share a bathroom with other people, which again, I would be down for, but not at a $13,000 price tag. Not gonna happen. Like for $6,500 per person, I need to be able to shower in my room. I think that's where I'm at for one night. We're not talking a week. We're not talking 4 days. We're talking one night, one single night. So that is out of the question. Also a room with like a full, like the rooms that you see on Instagram where you're like, oh, like Anna Kendrick went on this. Like they invite celebrities. Alexa Chung went on it, I think, because, oh, I love Alexa Chung. A room with a bed, like a fancy room with a bed. We were looking at summer 2027. So like, I'm sure in winter it's cheaper, not that much. But a room with like a, you know, like a regular bed, not bunk beds, I think was $25,000 for one night. For one night. And I'll tell you, obviously, I'm not doing that. My colleagues, one of them, who's listening, shout out to you, you know, they were like, why don't you try to write about it? Because like, I would probably be comped if I was writing about it. And I was like, I cannot in good faith write about this. Who am I recommending this to? Who am I recommending a $25,000 single night train journey to? Like, do you know how many meals you could provide at a school in need? Like, absolutely not. But the one highlight of never going on this train, they do have day trips, which are priced like a very, very expensive meal, which that is something I can mess with. Like, that's something that I can justify a bit. I do have to translate the money from euros or whatever to dollars, see what it actually is. That I can waste like 5 hours on a train, way too much money for five hours on a train, but not $13,000 expensive. Like not that level. What it has done has thankfully made me look at luxury hotels different because I was on the other side for a long time being like, I remember what luxury hotels cost before the pandemic and it has skyrocketed. Like I remember getting a room at like one of Paris's best hotels for like, when my mom and I stayed there, it was like $700 a night. And I was like, this is the most insane thing I've ever done to spend this much. But like, we're in Paris. It was her birthday. I was like, we're going to do it. That hotel is now probably $2,000 a night. So I'm glad I did it before it was crazy bananas expensive. Also, $700 is like cheaper than what I'm seeing rooms at Yacht Club for the dates I was looking at. I booked a trip with Blair. MEI Mousemen Travel. Gotta love them. Found a great rate. And that room, once I got it, was gone. So it's always great to work with a travel agent because they will keep an eye out for you. What was I saying? Oh, afterwards, I was like, okay, now that my brain has been rewired, knowing that one night on a train is $13,000, I want to see how much like Ritz Paris is. And I looked it up and Ritz Paris was, I think, under $2,000 a night, which is not something I'm going to pay. I'm not paying that much money. But it was still funny to be like, oh, okay. Okay, like it made me view the world differently. Also, I cannot believe people are spending $13,000. I'm not spending $2,000 a night at a hotel. And if you see me at a luxury hotel, my husband is a points person and we got in on points. Like, if I ever end up at the Ritz Paris, I don't want you to be like, this girl spent $2,000 on a hotel room a night and she's there for four nights. I don't want you to do the math. We are points people. My husband is an algorithm brain guy. That's what's happening. There's stuff happening there, clearly. I can't in good faith spend that much money on something. Also, like the Amex Fine Resorts thing. Gotta use it. Free breakfast. They upgrade your room. It's great. But yeah, $13,000 for one night on a train in a bunk bed. Not something I'm going to do. And I feel really good about that decision. I feel, as I posted online, I'm going to get an Earl Grey tea and I'm going to sit on the Disneyland train and I'm going to feel $12,995 richer. That is, I feel like girl math, like I made money by not going. It's like, I could have lost all this hypothetical Monopoly money, but instead I chose not to and I have money in my pocket and that feels pretty good. Things I am watching. Okay, so last time we spoke, I was probably still watching Lucifer and I was watching Widow's Bay forever. I finished Lucifer. I actually liked the ending. I thought the final season was going to go a different direction. I know people had thoughts about the final season. I was pretty happy with it. We got more Lucifer time. It was great. That led me to watch CSI? No, CIA. too many branches of government, federal coppage. I don't know. So Lucifer stars in CIA. So I started CIA. He plays just like a vanilla guy. I'm like waiting for the Lucifer to come out. And it's kind of like, can you make this guy fun? Like your other character was fun. And he's just playing this one straight. But the show's pretty good. Pretty good. There's a big reveal at the end of the season. I will be tuning in for season two. But it doesn't have that je ne sais quoi of Lucifer, which by the end, I liked it. I just liked the character, even though the show did drag a bit. I finished CIA. And then I was like, what am I going to watch? Because I didn't really feel like I was in a bonesy mood. Guess what? I got back on the Law & Order SVU train. Toot, toot. That's a train I will board. No bunk beds required. And everyone gets their own toilet. It is so good. I forgot how good it is because I watch endless procedurals, as you know. I can't even watch Elsbeth anymore because I don't like knowing what's going to happen because these shows are already predictable and like knowing what's going to happen kind of ruins it. It's like, you're going to watch Elsbeth figure it out. I'm over it. If Elsbeth figured it out with us, I'd be more into it. But SVU, the crimes they have on that show, AI could never invent. The things that are happening in SVU in a modern season, like season 27 or whatever, oh my Lord, it is wackadoo bananas. And I never know where it's going. And sometimes, you know, like everything usually ends on like a very solid note on some of these procedurals. This thing, they could just be like, mistrial, dang. And that's it. And you're like, whoa. Or it ends on like a mid-conversation between two people who work in the same bureau. It is great. It's great to be back. Also, I'm laughing because they changed the cast so much that I started the season and like four episodes in that pose, like, you know, it's like, don't, like at the end of the, like the end of the intro, it's just them and the, like, they're like, we're cops. And it's that posed photo. They keep swapping people in and out because they keep changing the cast. It's crazy. But yeah, I'm back on the SVU train and it's been nice and I really enjoy it. Something I'm not seeing, The Odyssey. Enjoy, my friends. But I cannot sit still for that long. It's not for me. I'm not that interested. I know. I get it. IMAX, Sean IMAX. Oh, I know. Practical effects. We love it. We love a practical effect. But I'm not going to sit for that long. Maybe I'll see it one day. I would love to see like a 4-minute clip on YouTube. Honestly, I'm back on YouTube. Not making videos, but I'm watching them. I sent a Disneyland Paris guide to a friend who's listening. Hi. But I didn't really know much about the redo of the Disneyland Paris Hotel. So I watched Mammoth Club's video and I'm enjoying watching Disney videos again. Before it was like, I'm going to clock out of my shift at Disney work to enjoy my Disney work. But I'm really liking it. I watched a bunch of stuff and I'm really like watching the videos again. More for the parks I don't frequent. So like Disneyland Paris is mostly what I've been doing, but I'm into it. Is there anything else I'm watching? Oh, the last thing. I need to give a shout out to the Chris Fleming stand-up special on HBO. It took me a long time to watch it because I was saving it for like a moment when I was alone and in peace and could watch and laugh and not worry about waking up a child. Oh my gosh. Truly the best comedian working today. Highly recommend. If you don't know who Chris Fleming is, gotta watch the special. I believe it's HBO. Gotta follow him on Instagram. What a hoot. And I went to a show of his probably like a year and a half ago. And it was really fun to see how some of those jokes ended up in the final special. It was fun. Stand-up comedy. What an art form. All right. I am going to head out. I'm going to take Morty out to go potty. So great to be back. We have a few interview episodes coming up. Stay tuned for that. And then D23 is right around the corner. So brace yourselves. If you have any D23 questions, I know we got one today. I'm going to try to answer that for next week. But yeah, if you have any D23 questions, predictions, call them in this week and we will get to them very soon. Thanks so much for listening. Okay, bye. Well, not bye because there's more of the show, but bye for now. Becky's back, and she's going to tell us how we can save more money.
The big one this week is Disney Cruise Line. They came up with a save up to $500 per person. Whoa. On select sailings from October 1st to December 31st of this year. That's valid on most sailings, not all, but most sailings of the Disney Treasure, the Disney Fantasy, and the Disney Wonder, which you should be listening about because that's obviously the Disney Wonder from San Diego.
I mean, I am so close to booking it for a second time this year, you don't even know.
When you have 500 per person, that's not just for one and two. That's $500 per person in the cabin off. Book by August 30th for that one. So a good example is for select nights or for 7 nights in a veranda, you save up to 500. If you're an ocean view, you would save up to 400 per person. If you get into that 6 nights or less, you have savings up to $250 per person. So it does vary by the itinerary that you choose and the cabin category. But that is an incredible savings for Disney Cruise Line. If you want to do a cruise, now's the time to do it if you can go this year.
I do want to do a cruise, Becky.
My God. If a cruise, though, isn't in your future, Aulani, if you want to go over and have your little drink with a little umbrella and hang out in the lazy river, Aulani has a save up to 30% off on select rooms, including their partial ocean view and ocean view rooms. For stays up to 5 or more consecutive nights, you get up to that 30% off. 4 or more consecutive nights is up to 25%. This is for stays valid from October 19th to December 23rd. And if you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save even more. You can save up to 35% and hang out in Hawaiian paradise.
I am, and I want to. I want to hug Duffy. They won't let us. They trot Duffy and Shelly Mae around at Disneyland, tempting us, just going down Main Street. We can't hug him, but you can hug him in Aulani.
You stalk poor Duffy, don't you, when you're in Aulani?
Of course I do.
The other one, last but not least, is in your backyard for Disneyland. They do have a save up to 15% off select room types Sunday through Thursday through September 7th. That's save up to 15% at the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, as well as saving up to 10% off Pixar Place. But wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh.
If you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save up to 25% off.
Wow. Blair will be hearing from me.
I'm sure he will. San Diego is calling your name.
Literally. I already have the date. I already have a hold in my calendar. I don't want to talk about it. It was so great to see you. And thank you for all of this and for everything you do.
Hi, Carly. This is Maddie from Colorado. And I wasn't originally going to call with this message because I was like, it's not that important. But then in your Gab Sesh episode, I heard you say that you getting the messages on the Turo hotline is like getting mail at camp. So I was like, you know what? I'll just call and say it for fun. I am not sure like exactly what your food eating is like right now, like if you're fully gluten-free or if you're trying it out or what, but I just needed to plug the gluten-free churros at Nomad Lounge in Animal Kingdom because I had heard about them and I finally tried them and they were actually like one of the best desserts I've ever had. I like don't really have that much of a palate for fried food because maybe I've been gluten-free since I was 15, so maybe I just like don't have the taste for it. Like I taste it, I'm like, that just kind of tastes greasy to me. But these churros were so, 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 so good. I cannot even explain. So just wanted to recommend those if you haven't tried them yet. They're amazing. And thank you so much for your podcast. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye.
Hi! Okay, I need to thank you so much for this call because you like incepted this into my mind at the exact time that I need it. These churros are fantastic. The churros at Nomad Lounge are wonderful. And I kind of forgot about them because since I've been going with a child more, sitting down at Nomad Lounge just like is not happening. We are like running and gunning it. I mean, the last time I went to Animal Kingdom with my child, she slept the entire time. Okay, I'm still traumatized. You guys know how much I spent on minivans that day, and I don't want to talk about it again. But like, she slept the entire time, did not wake up. Did not wake up. Her eyes opened when we were in the car leaving Animal Kingdom. So like, Nomad Lounge just isn't really, when we're there, we're trying to like, get things done. I don't really get to relax Animal Kingdom that much anymore, which is really sad to admit, but it's true. I love going with my child, but you know, pros and cons, different types of trips. These churros are great. And I had someone DM me recently, and I don't always open DMs just because like I'm Midwestern, and when I open one, I have to respond to it. And then like, I don't always have the time, but I saw one pop up that was like, hey, if it's someone you don't know, you can see a preview of it. And so I saw this preview and was like, oh, actually, I want to help this person out. They were messaging me because they were like, I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to try to do 4 parks in one day. What is one little treat at each park I should do? And I realized in the course of like absolutely psychotically messaging them way too many things, I realized that my diet has changed so much where I was like, I love the salmon at Magic Kingdom. And I was like, who am I? I can't be recommending this. But the one thing that was like a total treat that is something I can probably have and will be fine are these churros. And they were fully like out of my brain, wasn't thinking about them until you mentioned them. And then I was able to spread the good word to other people. So I'm so grateful you called in, that we can tell everyone the churros are great. All those treats, I need to like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Just take like 100 tummy pills and like try a bunch of stuff. All of the yummies I recommended, I was like a cheeseburger egg roll, but like, I don't know, I haven't had them in a while. I gotta go back and try everything because it's been like 2 years since I've really tried all the yummy, yummy, yummy. So that'll be a trip in the future. A trip in the future will be to try all those things. But yeah, those churros are really good. They're really good. I also like, I'm so obsessed with the maple popcorn at Epcot right now. My mom was so right. That day on my birthday when we got in, it was boiling hot. Oh my God. Not the temperature outside. I mean, it was, but the popcorn was boiling hot. It was perfect. The maple popcorn in Canada at Epcot is mwah, chef's kiss. And like, that's what I'm looking forward to when I go. It really is. I need some new treats. I have some bad, I need new recommendations. I'm just out here eating like straight up protein. Anyway, thank you for your call. I'm going to get, those churros are implanted in my brain. And if I go to Animal Kingdom on my next trip, you know I'm going there just for you and for me because I want to eat them. Thank you so much, Maddie. And enjoy Colorado, the most beautiful state. Wait. We cannot move on in this podcast until we acknowledge the fact that we collectively just used the churros hotline to receive a call about churros that was incredibly helpful and beneficial to those listening to this churros response. Oh my Lord. We are living, like, do you know how I said? Like, you were incepting it into my mind? We are like, brrr, like all the layers folding in on each other, like some sort of like Avengers Marvel Worlds colliding moment. Wow, the churros hotline has officially been used for churros good. And I thank you. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this very special Gab Sesh episode. Remember last week when I couldn't remember our outro without looking at the outro outline? I'm looking at the outline. I literally say 4 things! I don't think other podcasts have to do that. Whatever, they have brains in their skull. And you know what? We're jet lagged, which is embarrassing to say because New York is not that far away. We are jet lagged. My child woke me up at 4:30 in the morning and I'm currently chugging water and coffee hoping something will stick. So I need to look at a list. So ha, whatever. Those are my accommodations for making my own podcast and I'm just going to roll with it. You can rate, review, and follow us on You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. We got so many fun calls while we were away, and I'd be like about to get in the car to drive somewhere, like about to get on the train and be like, I want to respond to this right now. So I can't wait to respond to some of these. It's going to be very, very fun in the next few weeks. If you're planning a trip, reach out to MEI MouseFan Travel, mousefantravel.com/amusing for all of your Disney Cruise Line, Disney Parks, Universal, Royal Caribbean, Disneyland Paris, etc. Reach out to them and they will quote you and they will help you book your trip. I booked a trip over email with Blair and I'm never going to stop talking about it. It was so freaking easy. And I'll tell you what, I grabbed a room that like the price was like I had a discount because of annual pass. Like basically I'm going like right on the line of when one discount ends and another one begins. So it's like availability is small. Anyway, Blair found me a great rate and I keep checking back to see if there's a hotel I'm holding out hope for. I'm hoping I can get a discounted rate into this one specific hotel. And I keep checking back and there's like nothing. Like Blair got me like basically like the last room. And I'm so grateful. So be sure to head to mousemantravel.com/amusing. Even if you just want to hit them up and be like, hey, I'm a friend of Carly's. Like, I'm curious how much a cruise would cost. I heard there's a lot of discounts. We can go in November. What you got? Like, hit them up. They will quote you for free. There's no obligation. They are so easy to work with. And like, if you're not using a travel agent, period, you should be, because they save you time and they can save you money. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. I'm posting a lot there. I don't think there used to be a thing where like it would show you that subscribers were getting something in Instagram stories if you didn't subscribe, and it would be like a shaded out one, and it's like subscribers are getting a story that you don't see. And I turned that off, but I feel like Meta is a little sinister and they probably added it back. So I don't think anyone sees those anymore, because I did consciously go in all the layers of settings to turn that off. But I don't think people realize how much I'm posting on subscribers. I'll post like a couple stories a day, and then there's like five behind it that are just exclusively for people who spend 99 cents a month. I have paid more to put sprinkles on ice cream over the past 2 weeks in different regions of America than you will pay for subscribers. So I think I am worth a scoop of sprinkles. As you know, I have a complex about asking people for money, but I do think I'm worth 99 cents. As uncomfortable as it is for me to say that, I am worth 99 cents. So if you want to hang out there, feel free to do it. It's a ton of fun. Also, there's like been a glitch for years, and I finally got in touch with someone and they said that's just like regional and there's nothing we can do about it. So I'm doing my best. I've been trying for years to get it fixed. I cannot get it fixed, and I apologize. But if you can join us, 99 cents a month, would love to have you. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. It's Mom. I have to tell you, the podcast sounded great. So whether you're doing your makeup or walking around, it sounded so good. So from now on, Very Amusing is going to be on the move. You can do it anywhere because it sounded so good. How fun to be in New York. I love New York for all the years you lived there and all the times I visited you. So when you lived there, we saw live shows. I had the best sample sales shopping of my life. And of course, Jack White's Frida. So, so great. Plus, your caricature picture is on the wall at their newest location. That tells you something. Big fan. Anyway, I love that Cookie Monster and Elmo appeared on a FaceTime call to Noah Kahan. Oh, my gosh. That is so crazy amazing. So fun. Great episode, sweetheart. I love you so much, Carly. I love you so much, Pearl. I love you so much, John Stamos. You're looking good these days. Bye.